The following program is brought to you in living color.
My wife and I were given a gift bottle of wine. It hung around the house for a while.
The first element in a bouquet of wine is to get your nose down into the wine glass.
He's looking at you, kid.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all the glory, all the time, all the vine, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we are here for. We are your media resource for everything about my favorite round, pudgy, sometimes underappreciated little grape. And yes, we are here delivering yet more outstanding adjectives just to see if Kent is paying attention.
Do you come up with these new ones on the way over here every day? Is that what it is?
No, usually when I sit in the chair.
Oh, okay.
But well, see, this is what happens when you give me an open and don't give me much flexibility with it.
True.
I'm going to find a way to make it my own. Because after all the great radio gurus who give me advice say whatever they do, make sure you put your own stamp on it.
Well, that's what we always told you. So I guess that's your stamp.
Yes. So this is why it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I like being creative. This is where I feel my best creative juices start flowing. But of course, creative juices are kind of going to be at the front and center of today's show. We're very lucky today. We have Steve Hymoff. He is wine enthusiast editor. He also has done some interesting blogs lately about a topic we discussed in the last show. Now, for those of you who pay attention and actually follow the show on a weekly basis, we did do the small story about the sommelier who is suing the woman who put up a post on Yelp about how she didn't like the wine recommendation. We kind of went into that. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. But we're going to get his commentary, his take on it, and ultimately how he looks at writing opinions online. Basically, I think the whole concept is writing opinions online and how to offend others. Now, of course, if we wanted to do a show on that, I don't need any help. We certainly have gotten our own share of letters here on The Wine Crush. Oh, I don't know, from French embassies, from Italians. I think the Fair Trade Act sent us a letter. I know there's a couple wineries along the line have, and of course, as always, the adoring fan mail I get from all of you. But ultimately, that's what it comes down to. If you're going to put yourself in the public eye, and now anybody can. It used to be you had to have a radio show. You had to have a newspaper column. You had to have someone that would endorse you and put you on air, put you in print so that your opinions could get out there. But today, all you have to do is have an iPad and a Twitter account or a Facebook account or a LinkedIn account. It does not take anything to put your 2 cents worth wherever you'd like to put it. So in essence, today, everyone is a published media person. And in doing so, how do you offend others? How do you not offend others? We're going to kind of investigate that as it pertains to the wine world today. But it led me down another track, to be very honest with you. And ultimately, are we too critical of the critics? I went back through some past shows. I was listening to some things. And I have made, I'm not going to say derogatory comments, but ultimately, you think about Parker, you think about the enthusiast, Wine Spectator, and all of us have our different takes on it. We've done several shows. We've answered several questions when it comes to wine critics. But when it comes down to it, I think that we are getting to a situation where we're too critical of the critics, simply because, like we end every week's show, drink what you like, not what you're told. And that needs to be your motto. I don't just say it because I like hearing my voice. Contrary to popular belief, it is something I want for you to get in your head. It's something I want to stick with you. If I can teach you anything, drink what you like. That's the basis of this whole show. So when I see questions, when I see commentaries, when I see blogs of people who I know are listeners that are just absolutely trashing what we consider our modern day critic, this is a bit ridiculous. You're getting in an argument over opinions. It's like whether you like red or blue better if you're a coffee or you're a tea drinker. It is certainly about a personal standpoint, and I'd like to investigate that through the day. But, of course, I want your thoughts on that. Call me, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com, and tell me, why are we being critical of the critics when ultimately we're critics ourselves? If we're posting, if we're blogging, if we're commentating, then obviously we don't always have nice things to say. I know that Kent wish I would always say nice things about people and wineries and things.
Well, it keeps
the
lawyers away. That's what I like.
Well, no, that's what you insist upon.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why he has the bleep button. I don't know how many of you actually get to hear the bleep button, but it has been known to strike and hit at random times. Speaking of striking and hitting, before I strike out on my own, I do want to give our wine recommendations for the week. It has been an interesting week in the wine world. Of course, a lot of wineries out there. But I decided to take a sharp turn from my beloved Chardonnay. Because get this, there is actually a Chardonnay shortage in California. I really almost wept. I almost cried. Then again, I started thinking about the fact that most of the Chardonnays I like are estate grown or people I know I can always, you know, scrounge a bottle. I can see me now. We're going to have a big banner of Laura Lawson being arrested in this back alley Chardonnay deal trying to get my bootleg bottle because California is out of the juice. God help us all.
Why is there a Chardonnay shortage?
Well, you looked at the year this year, the past vintage. It wasn't a great vintage, number one. Number two, even though Chardonnay is the number one selling grape varietal, grape crop in California, it comes down to the fact that since people have been bastardizing Chardonnay for the past 5 years or so, there's not that much new Chardonnay being planted. So you put three things together. One, people are drinking more wine. Two, people are drinking more Chardonnay. And three, there is not supply to cover demand, especially in a bad vintage, and all of a sudden, we're short Chardonnay.
Hmm.
It makes you feel better. We're going to be short Cabernet as well. It'll be interesting.
That doesn't make me feel better.
Well, no, I would imagine it wouldn't. But the Chardonnay thing might catch you off guard. Because if I wind up jonesing for Chardonnay, someone's going to get hurt. Now, I'm sorry. As I was saying, because I might have to begin to commence to start to look for alternative to Chardonnay, I thought I'd try some different things out again and revisit them. And I'm glad I did. There's a winemaker called Villa Maria. And when you think of Villa Maria, usually you wind up thinking about Sauvignon Blanc. You think ultimately great New Zealand property, outstanding wines they're doing. But actually what's fun is they do a Verdejo, V-E-R-D-E-L-H-O, Verdejo. And this is traditionally a variety that's used in Madeira. It's a wine that you find in Portugal. It's a wine or grape you find in Spain. But ultimately, this is really, really a dry style wine. And what they have done in making this wine, because of where it's grown, because of the clay it's grown in, this is a really cool bottle of wine. It has great lime flavors to it. You have honeysuckle, you have lime, you have a sweetness to it, but then it's finished off with this bone-grade acidity. So for those of you who like to go out and do the sushi thing, for those of you, if you're talking about something that's outstanding, put some wasabi with this. You get such great floral characteristics. You really come through with the lime on it. Great, great balanced wine. And of course, it's something that you don't expect. Verdejo from New Zealand doesn't happen. So this is something, it's unique, it's different, it's refreshing. So there, I am branching out of my little dark cave and trying to drag you along with me to find something different. So there's your white wine, Villa Maria Verdejo. Now for reds, you know me, I'm going to have to go back to my California calling. If I'm researching the fact that ultimately we're going to be short on Chardon Cab, that just means it's like telling someone who's on a diet that they need to go in the bakery, but they can sit there and stare at all the donuts and pastries, oh, and bear claws and eclairs and all those amazing things that are behind the counter, but no, you can't have any. Here's an animal cracker. It'll make you happy. And telling me there was a shortage in California Cabernet, of course, I had to go stare at Hewitt. Hewitt Vineyard Cabernet, of course, this is from Napa Valley. Man, great deep black cherry, great Courant. I mean, this is what Rutherford is all about. For those of you who have heard the phrase Rutherford dust, they might as well just go ahead and encapsulate a little bit of the dirt around the top and just hang it on the bottle so you could smell the dirt, you could taste it, and you then try the wine, because this really is what Rutherford's all about. Very extracted, very, very good. If you ever wanted to have that one bottle of wine that defined what this territory is for the new generation, this is it. So Hewitt Cabernet out of Rutherford, great extraction, absolutely fantastic. Also really good for the collectors out there. I'm hearing rumors and hearing drumbeats that it's going to be a short vintage at Hewitt. So I would suggest you get what you can now. And as I mentioned, Villa Maria Verdejo is your white wine recommendation. Kent, you're staring at me like I have four heads when I get off on the pastry description. Is it because you just gave me animal crackers to keep me quiet? Is that why you're looking at me like that?
I was just wondering what wine goes with those tasteless animal crackers you have.
Actually,
they're one step above cardboard. You know that, don't you?
That's why you gave them to me, I think. But actually, the Verdejo that I just had would pair exceptionally well with the animal crackers because of their cardboard resembling lack of flavor. It would really emphasize the honeysuckle and the lime that came out in that wine.
Wow. You know everything.
Thank you for telling me that. I've been telling you that for years and I can't get acknowledgement. Okay, so going back to being critical of the critics, This is, to me, going to be a dividing point today. Like I said, we have Steve Himoff. He's definitely going to help us along these lines. But we have some interesting emails about critics that I want to get to, but we're going to have to take a quick break here on The Crush. But I promise you, when we get back, we will continue to be critical.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169.
Is the IRS knocking on your door for back taxes? Are you being threatened with bank levies or wage garnishments? Let us negotiate with the IRS for you. It's a lot easier. We deal with the IRS every day, so you don't have to. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, or you haven't filed in a while, pick up your cell phone and call now for free information. We have experts standing by right now who know the tax codes and know the secrets to settle your back taxes for less, if you qualify. We'll explain to you how we may be able to settle your taxes for less than what you currently owe. So call today for your free evaluation. Remember our motto. If you can't pay your back taxes, call now. See if you can pay less. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, call Alpha Tax now for free advice on how you can pay less.
800-961-3631. 800-961-3631. 800-961-3631. 800-961-3631.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Tonight, the bottle let me down.
Come around. Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Sorry for the small break right there. I was busy trying to find my shotgun so I could actually shoot whoever is singing that song, and the fact that Kent just keeps playing it over
you
and over again.
You gave it to me. It was on your little collection.
That absolutely
of wine comes. Songs.
No, that did not come from me. You can count on that. That just needs to go away.
All right.
Let's have a vote on that, listeners. 877-4-CRUSH-1 and beg him to kill whatever that song is.
Vote yes.
Yes. Okay, before we took that break and before we were just so rudely assaulted by that music, ultimately, crazy wine critics, critical wine critics, you can Google wine. And when you sit down and you Google wine, I mean, you do get a million, literally a million different results. Just for fun, when I started planning the show, I Googled stupid wine critics. 14,500 results for that. Stupid wine critics. 14,500 results. That is staggering to me that people are going to take this much time and this much energy to complain about a wine critic. But this is what's interesting is I'm tying this all together because I have a great email, and this may take a bit to go down, but I do want to read it and tie it all together because this still floors me. This is from Jared, and Jared writes from Idaho, I believe. Jared writes, how far in advance do wine critics get bottles to taste? It seems by the time the reviews come out, the wine is already sold out. How is this possible? Do critics give wineries the ratings beforehand so the wineries let everybody know that should be buying it? It seems like this is a great conspiracy to me. Jared, you have entirely too much time on your hands. This is what it comes down to. This is a perfect example of someone apparently who is incapable of thinking for themselves. Jared, wine critics are just that. They review wines. Yes, they do taste wines ahead of time. They usually have bottles of wine anywhere, actually, or barrels of wine anywhere from 18 months to a year to 6 months to 2 days before the general public. Obviously, they're going to try it in barrel. They're going to see how it matures. They're going to see how it changes. If you pay attention, look to someone like Robert Parker when he's planning ahead and talking about the 2011 vintage. Obviously, he's done some pre-tasting. But ultimately, these people are not the ones that sell the wines out. These people are not the ones that are saying, oh, let's hoard this like it's some kind of gold. Critics are not the one that create a shortage in wine. Now, I'm sure some of you right now are sitting there on your phone getting ready to hit speed dial saying, well, if a wine gets 100 points, it's going to sell out the next day. Yes, of course, there are people who buy and collect off the 100-point wines. But ultimately, it is not a conspiracy. Critics do not go to the wineries. They don't go to their friends. They don't go to their buddies and say, psst, hey, I got a great deal for you on a 100-point Cabernet. It's not out yet, but you need to get it. There are ethics involved. There are really and truly people who take these things as their livelihood very serious and with a sense of honor. So as far as conspiracy, no. Jared, however, here's what happens. Say a wine critic reviews a wine, it gets 98 points. I will use Donna Estates just because I absolutely love the property and love the wine. Of course, last year's Lotus got 100 points. No one knew about it ahead of time. The winery at some point got the press before it actually came out in the magazine, but it's not like they went around to all their friends and said, hey, you have to buy the wine. Here's what's interesting in a situation like this. Donna Estates was already sold out of the wine when the press release came out, simply because people have some sense on their own. It does not make a difference in the sense if a person likes a wine, if a critic gave it an 84, a 74, or a 100, if I taste a bottle of wine, I don't care what the critic says. I'm going to purchase it. I'm going to buy it. So, Jared, when you think there's a conspiracy afoot with all these critics, it's just your other wine compatriots who, while you are running off at the mouth, seeing paranoid delusion UFOs and the fact that you can't get the wine you see 3 months later, they're the ones that have gone out and bought the wine ahead of time. They're the ones who have tried it. They're the ones that have done the research, have checked the vineyards, have checked the property, and went ahead and made a gamble on their own. So, Jared, I don't mean to deliberately make fun of you, and I don't mean to truly lambast you, but ultimately, if you think there's a conspiracy and that's why you can't get these highly rated wines, tell you what, if you'll talk less about what you can't get your hands on and instead open your eyes to your own palate and go out to the stores and go out to the market and find things you do like, eventually you'll get to a point where maybe that the wines you like and taste are the ones that you knew ahead about before the press came out. So, Jared, very, very sorry. Don't mean to deliberately be difficult. But Kit, any commentary? You know I don't usually go off on listeners' emails or questions.
No, I'm sorry. I was trying to find our guest.
So. Hmm. You let him.
I was doing my producer thing.
You let him wander off down the hall again, didn't
you? Unfortunately, he's not answering his phone.
Well, you gave him the animal crackers. That's probably part of the problem.
That's probably it.
Okay, so before I get too far off on this rant, I do want to throw this out there because you know me, I love my crazy little news stories. Now, this is one I'm looking forward to hearing commentary on, and I have to be honest, I want to taste this wine. Okay, Ian Hutchinson, a gentleman in Chile who has a great love of astronomy, is making Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, Cabernet and Sauvignon coming out of Chile is not a big deal. What is a big deal is in the barrel of Cabernet, he has put a 4.5 billion year old meteorite into that barrel. His plan is to let the meteorite sit at the bottom of that wine as it ages for 12 months and to feel like in doing so, he has imparted something unique and something from outer space into his Cabernet.
He's been drinking a lot of that wine, hasn't he?
This is past drinking. It really is. But it does beg the question. We discuss labels and labeling laws a lot here on the show just because we do get a lot of questions. At some point, shouldn't on the label or somewhere, shouldn't some government step in and say, hey, this might be a problem. We don't know what's in the meteorite. We haven't had it tested. You know, I'm going to assume there's not a little alien elf living in the bottom of the meteorite. But ultimately, what good is it really going to do the wine? And isn't there a possibility for some kind of harm?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there might be kryptonite. It could kill Superman.
If anyone would like to take the opportunity to apply for the job of producer of the Wine Crush, by all means, 877-4-CRUSH-1. I would prefer that you not have a background in comic books if you're going to apply for the position. No, kryptonite's not what I'm worried about. Ultimately, I think it's a great idea and I think it's a great gimmick, but when you look at what goes into your wine, whether it's oak, whether it's yeast, somewhere along the lines, I just don't really want space dust floating around in there. I will be very curious to try it. I hope it will hit the United States. Apparently, though, it is going to be a very, very limited production. I mean, how big can the meteorite be in one barrel? But still, when it does finally release, it'll be available at his observatory and be selling for about $10 a bottle. Is this where you're going to go ahead and tell me it's far out, Kent?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Leaving you alone.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we are hoping to have Mr. Steve Himoff joining us to talk a little bit about criticizing the critic and offending others while writing opinions online.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-489-1639 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-489-1639. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Call 1-800-489-1639. 1-800-489-1639. That's 1-800-489-1639.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
I'm Laura Lawson, this is The Wine Crush, and as I promised before the break, we are going to make sure that all sides are heard when I get done lecturing you about criticizing the critics. And so, of course, you know me, I don't like to go about this without help. So today I have Mr. Steve Himoff. He is an editor for The Wine Enthusiast, and he is joining us to really discuss writing opinions online and offending others. Steve, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thank you, Laura. I'll do my best to offend you.
Oh, please do. Kent's been trying steadily for the last 20 minutes. I'd like a new challenge.
Okay.
It would just be a lot of fun. Well, thank you for being part of the crush today.
Sure thing.
Now, of course, it is great. Our listeners are very familiar with The Wine Enthusiast. But if you want to, real quick, can you give our listeners a background of who you are and what you do?
My name is Steve Himoff. I live in beautiful Oakland, California. And I am the California editor for Wine Enthusiast magazine.
So basically, you stay in the firing line a fair amount of time.
I guess you could say that.
Today, we're basing the show around 2 things. Obviously, read your blog, absolutely loved it, where you talked about a winery owner that did not particularly agree with one of your reviews. But
that's putting it mildly.
I'm trying to be delicate, and I've also been given this list of words I'm not allowed to use, and it really, really, it really kills my vocabulary from moment to moment, so I do have to be very careful here.
Cause I think she used about 5 of, what is it, 7?
7
words.
7.
I think she used like 5 of them during the course of 2 emails.
That just astounds me. I mean, ultimately, it's your... You're a critic, and what you do is you give your opinion on the wines. This is what you see based on your experiences. This is what you taste. This is what you've dealt with. All of us know there's a basic structure to wine. You know, does it have any faults in it? Is it balanced? We have the baseline on it. But ultimately, Steve, I have not had the pleasure of meeting you face-to-face, but you are not the end-all, be-all, final, decisive vote on whether everybody in the world is going to like this wine or not.
Never claimed to be. Don't want to be.
But for somebody to take what your opinion is so personally and so vehemently attack you. Just absolutely flabbergast me.
Well, a couple of things, Laura. Number one, you know, I don't ask anybody to send me wine for review. So if people send me wine, that's their choice. And they have to understand that there's a certain risk involved. I mean, you're sending me your wine of your own free will, and you're asking me to publish my my review of it. So it's a little crazy. And secondly, I didn't even give her bad scores. I mean, I said she made good wines. But then, But then the other part is that I'm glad that I didn't publish her name. I sort of struggled with myself to, you know, should I or shouldn't I say who she was or what the winery was. And a little voice told me not to. And I was really glad because the next day I heard from a bunch of people who knew who she was because evidently she's got some mental problems. And she's fairly famous in her neck of the woods for being, you know, kind of a crazy person. And so I was really glad that I didn't, you know, publish her name or anything because that could have been like throwing gasoline
on the bonfire. Kind of like that poor woman up in Chicago who posted a Yelp comment and had a sommelier go after and trying to sue her.
Well, yeah, something like that.
But
seriously, the day that I got, she sent me two or three different emails, and I was actually wondering, like, do I have to look in the bushes outside my house? You know, am I going to have some psycho person, you know, with a knife or something springing at me? Because it was really a violent letter. But now I feel sorry for her, and I hope that her family will get her some help.
Well, ultimately, when we look at it, I think, I believe you're the one that has, as long as you're passionate about something, and we have to appreciate that people in the alcohol business, doesn't matter which side of it, whether you're a writer, whether you're a producer, a grower, a wholesaler, distributor, or even a lackluster media person, ultimately, we're all passionate about what we do. And of course, passion is our defining factor, but at some point, that passion has to be reined in, or it does wind up, as you're saying, coming across as mental instability.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's obviously an outlier. I mean, I just had another communication today with a very well-known, very famous California winemaker, and he wasn't really particularly happy with some of my reviews. But, you know, he acknowledged and he said, look, I understand. You know, I sent you my wine and you have to taste it. And I tasted it twice, which I will do on request. And the second time around, my, you know, reaction was exactly the same. And so the most important thing for me is to be honest.
Well, that's all you can do because your followers, that's something we advocate here on The Crush. Whether you follow you, whether you follow Matt Kramer, whether you followed Robert Parker when he was writing, I tell our listeners to find a critic they identify with. If you try four of the wines and you hate all four they've recommended, find another critic. Find someone else you like that you eventually will find one that lines up with your palate. You have an obligation to the people who believe in how your rating system and how you judge wines to be honest. It's not fair to everybody else who follows you day in and day out.
Exactly.
And that's how you have to view things. Now, here's an off-the-wall question. As far as, obviously, you taste and review a lot of wine, especially in your long tenure in the wine business. When you have responses from winemakers or winery owners, what's your balance of thank you so much for the nice review to die, you villainous slug?
Oh, no. No, you know, that lady is really the only person that ever did that. People understand it. You know, and when people thank me, I tell them, you know, don't thank me because you thank someone for giving you a gift. And, you know, if I give a good review to a wine, it's not a gift. It's not a present. It's not out of the kindness of my heart because I love you or something like that.
Because you're feeling sorry for them because they're having financial troubles. And, you know, you really, really liked two vintages ago.
It has nothing to do with it. It's because, you know, I tell them, thank you. Thank yourself. Thank your winemaker. Thank your grower for growing really great grapes and making a really good wine. So, no, you know, that's not a problem. I am not complaining about the blowback or the feedback. And like I said, you know, in the end, I felt sorry for that lady. She is not at all typical of California winemakers.
No, but of course, being in the media, we all have that adage, any press is good press. And as long as they're talking about me, it's a good thing. When you look at someone, whether it's good, whether it's bad, do you really think the people who respond to you in such a hostile manner, are they just looking to get more press out of it? Or they really think that you're going to change your review?
Well, no, I just said people don't respond to me in a hostile manner. She was really the only person that's done that in 20 years or more than 20 years. People will tell me privately that they wish that I had found better things to say about their wine, but they're not hostile about it.
At least you hope not.
Very unusual.
As far as you know. Hey, Steve,
not to my face, anyway.
That's always the fun part. Now, hush, speaking of not to your face, we're going to have to take a quick break. If you don't mind, will you hang out? And as
sure,
soon as we get the commercials over, we'll continue our discussion.
Yeah, sure.
All right, quick break here on The Crush, and of course, more Steve Hainoff when we return.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
What's your gym membership costing you? Do you even use it anymore? If you're looking to save some money and still stay in great shape, then here's a great offer from Total Gym. I have one. I use it every day. It's easy to set up. There's no weights to move around. I work out in 15 minutes a day, and I stay in great shape. And the best part is I don't have to leave my home to get a full intensive workout. So my friends at Total Gym want to make it real easy for you to get started. Pick up your cell phone right now, and you can try Total Gym risk-free for 30 days for just $49.95, and shipping is free. Save yourself some money while you stay in great shape. Ditch your gym membership. Order a Total Gym risk-free. You don't like it? Return it in 30 days. Call 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169, 800-385-3169.
Z-Max Micro Lubricant, the only engine and fuel system product that makes your car or truck engine perform better. Legendary car builder Carroll Shelby is sold on Z-Max.
There's no doubt that it's the only additive that really works.
Put Z-Max in your oil and gas and reduce internal friction and harmful deposits.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, tested, trusted performance. Available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.
NASCAR weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. It all starts Friday, March 9th with Stratosphere Pole Day. See Danica March 10th in the Samstown 300. Then Sunday, March 11th, it's Dale Jr., Johnson, Gordon, and your favorite in the Sprint Cup Cobalt Pools 400. Get great seats at 800-644-4444, 800-644-4444, or select your seat at lvms.com. When NASCAR comes to Vegas, it's all about the fans at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, America's racing show place.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now we're having an in-depth discussion with Mr. Steve Hainoff. Steve, are you with us?
I am.
Okay, for our listeners just joining us, Steve is an editor for the Wine Enthusiast magazine. And right now we're kind of discussing the idea of blowback on critics, how I think people tend to be a little bit unfair of some of the critics out there. Now, Steve, every week I do a wine recommendation. I don't bash wines, I don't truly rate wines, but every week I recommend a red and a white that I come across that I like. I have received emails from people who have gone out, bought the wines that I recommended, telling me that I knew nothing about wine, the structure was terrible, that it was absolutely awful. What do I think I'm doing by recommending wine?
Yeah.
So, fortunately, I have not had to deal with that with a winemaker quite yet, but in your life day in and day out, do you deal with the general public that actually wants to comment on your scoring, your ratings, or your recommendations?
Oh, yeah, that's where I'm on the firing line, is on my blog. Because, as you know, a blog is social media, and you're out there on the internet for the whole world, and people can, you know, say anything they want to. And
without worrying about those seven words.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And by the way, I can, too. but the thing is that I've written this many times. I've said, you really develop a thick skin, you know, in this business, because you can't, you just can't take stuff that seriously. I mean, when people are saying you don't have a palate and, you know, where the hell are you coming from and are you a master of wine or are you a master sommelier? No, I'm not those things. But that doesn't mean that I don't have a job. And I've done this for more than 20 years and I think I'm pretty good at it. So, you know, I mean, if people want to rant and rail and cuss me out and stuff like that, that's their right.
But to what benefit?
I just don't let it get
this
to me, that's all.
But here's my question, both to the people who write in on your blog and rant and rave, and to our listeners, what benefit is it for you to go up against a critic and say you're wrong, you disagree? I really don't get that, because ultimately, I started our show with this, it is a matter of opinion. It is subjective. Wine is totally subjective. I don't care. Like you even said that you'll sometimes taste wines twice. Because we all know, regardless of taking the factors of the possibility of bottle variation or faults out of it, wine can be subjective. It's how you feel, the cycles that your body's going through, what time of day, things change.
That's true, Laura.
So ultimately, the fact that people will, general public who are learning about wine, who consider themselves aficionados or experts, or however you want to look at it, I really don't understand what the benefit is to attack the critic and to argue.
Well, I don't know that there's a benefit, but, you know, it's the nature of the internet and social media. It's really the Wild West out there. You know, there's no law. There's just gunslingers. And I think that people who comment, you know, on Twitter or Facebook or on their blog or something like that, and they call me an idiot or something like that, it empowers them because, you know, I have some visibility in the industry, and I think that it makes people feel empowered to be able to tear me down. And that's fine. That's good. I love social media. Being criticized, I'll tell you this, being criticized, since I started blogging almost 4 years ago, I've learned so much from my critics about how to be a better wine critic.
But has that changed how you approach things? Have any of these criticisms, have any of the heckling or anything that you get, can you use it constructively? Do you find a way to make yourself a little bit different in your perspective and your scope?
Not in my tasting. You know, my actual method of tasting hasn't really changed all that much, but since I sort of found myself on the social media sphere and I got a lot of criticism for various things, what it made me realize is, like, you know, my critics had a point. And this is going back three and a half years ago when we were really getting into sort of like these fights. But what I had never realized until I started doing social media was that I was not transparent. And, you know, that word transparent is a very important word in the internet. And what I realized was, like, you know, for 20 years I've been writing for this print magazine, and it wasn't really clear to people how I did my business, how I tasted, what I thought, what my standards were, and I didn't even know that. I didn't know that I wasn't being transparent until I started getting bashed left and right by people who were saying, well, you're not transparent, you're just some, you know, in an ivory tower, and you don't know what anyone thinks, and you don't care what anybody says. And it wasn't until I found myself blogging, when you have that instantaneous, you know, two-way feedback from your readers, that I realized, like, wow, they're right, you know? So what's changed for me is that I have decided to be completely transparent. And I think I'm probably the most transparent, you know, major critic in America. I mean, I could name other names, and you probably know who they are, too.
Oh, well, several just came to mind as we're having this discussion. But
you know, I mean, I will. Anyone can say anything they want to on my blog. I don't have a screening process. I don't...
It's actually you doing it, then. In other words, you don't have to go through producers, someone screens it, someone cleans it up, or anything like that. You actually...
No, it's totally me. And once... first-time commenters, I have to approve... Their comment, just to make sure it's not spam. But once
that makes sense.
You're approved forever. In other words, as soon as you comment on my blog and you hit that send button, it goes up live on my blog. And I don't think there's any other critic in America that can make that claim. And people can haul me over the coals, and they can trash me, and they can say anything they want to. That goes up on my blog.
Well, we'll have to test this out. I know we're getting close to wrapping this up. So, since we've discussed your blog, for our listeners, what is your blog and where can they find it?
It's stevehymoff.com.
That is fairly easy to find. And I have to admit, since it's going to be live, I'm going to have to test that out. But, Steve, it has been great having
you
on the show.
Well, you have to be approved the first time.
Well, something tells me I might pass. I won't pass screening in my own studio, but who knows? Maybe I will pass it with yours. But, Steve, it has been a delight to have you on the show. And like
you
said, transparency has been great. You've been candid. You've been wonderful. And hopefully somewhere down the line I can talk you into coming back and joining us again.
Anytime, Laura.
Hey, Laura, can we have him spell Hymoff for everybody so they'll know?
Absolutely. Steve, can you spell your last name?
H-E-I-M, like in Mary, O-F-F, like in Frank.
Easy enough.
Hymoff.com.
And, of course, for our listeners, there will be a link from the Wine Crush website straight to Steve's. Well, Steve, again, many thanks, and I am sure I will be catching up with you soon.
Thank you, Laura.
All right. Hey, another quick break here on The Crush. When we return, we will wrap this show up and finalize the concept of being critical of the critics.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-489-1639 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-489-1639. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Call 1-800-489-1639. 1-800-489-1639. That's 1-800-489-1639.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Only Texas Motor Speedway can offer you 16 events for only $270 as a 2012 season ticket holder. You save up to 25% off ticket prices. Get two exclusive No Limits Garage Parties, discounts on concessions and merchandise, and you can buy VIP pit passes for half price. You'll get 3 weekends of racing, including April's Samsung Mobile 500, June's Firestone Twin 275s, and November's AAA Texas 500. Go to TexasMotorSpeedway.com now.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. A very special thank you to Steve Heimoff for that great point and counterpoint, because ultimately that's what we like to bring you, the idea of a critic speaking. Because all too many times we find ourselves being critical of the critics, saying, why do they rank this? Why do they do this? How come I can't get this wine? How come I can't find this wine? Who are they to say anything? Well, there you go. You finally have a critic, and I agree with Steve 100%. He's being transparent. You want to discuss with him how he tastes wines? You want to see how he fields wines, how he gets the wines he tastes? Check out his blog. Because ultimately, when it comes down to the days of social media like we have in front of us, everybody has a right to their own opinion. But my question to the listeners, and this is especially going out to Jared or anybody else who's written in about critics, when you sit down and you write, whether it's scathing emails or personal derogatory emails about you idiot, you're crazy, you're ridiculous, when you do things like that, what benefit do you get from that? If you're just feeling empowered because you said something to a critic, you've heard it firsthand. It's not that they don't care, but it doesn't faze them. You're one of many. Instead of actually sitting and taking the time to criticize the critic, take the power away. If you don't like them, don't follow them. If you like them, follow them. But remember, ultimately, what it's all about is exactly what I say at the end of every show. Drink what you like, not what you're told. And if someone tells you to drink something you don't like and you don't like it, don't drink it again, and don't necessarily take their recommendation. Because ultimately, the world is getting smaller and smaller and smaller the more our internet expands and expands and expands. There are some people that are like-minded out there as you when it comes to wine recommendations. All you have to do is take the time to find them. So my heart goes out to you. I hope the quest goes well. But until then, as always, here on The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.